సర్గే తపోహం ఋషయో నవయే ప్రజేషా స్థానేత ధర్మమఖమన్వ అమార్వనీషా స్థానేత ధర్మమఖమన్వ అమార్వనీషా అంతేత్వధర్మం హరమన్నే వశా సురాద్యా అంతేత్వధర్మహరమన్యు వశా సురాద్యా మాయా విభూతయా విమహ పరుశక్తి భాజా మాయా విభూతయ ఇమ పురుషక్తి భాజ సర్గే తపోహం ఋషయ నవయే ప్రజేష స్థానేత ధర్మమఖమన్వ అమార్వనీషా అంతే త్వధర్మహరమన్యు వశా సురాద్యా మాయా విభూతయ ఇమా పురుషక్తి భాజ సర్గే తపోహం ఋషయో నవయే ప్రజేషా స్థానేత ధర్మమఖమన్వ అమార్వనీషా అంతే త్వధర్మహరమన్యు వశా సురాద్యా మాయా విభూతయ ఇమా పురుషక్తి భాజ మాతాజీ సో వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ సర్గే ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద క్రియేషన్ తపః పెనాన్స్ అహం మైసెల్ఫ్ ఋషయ సేజెస్ నవ నైన్ ఏ ప్రజేష దోస్ హూ విల్ జనరేట్ స్థానే ఇన్ ద మిడల్ వైల్ మెయింటైనింగ్ ద క్రియేషన్ అథ సర్టన్లీ ధర్మ రిలీజన్ మఖ లార్డ్ విష్ణు మను ద ఫాదర్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్ కైండ్ Amara, the demigods, deputed to control the affairs of maintenance. Avanishaha, and the king of different planets. Ante, at the end, tu, but, adharma, irreligion, Hara, Lord Shiva, Manyu Vasha, subjected to anger. Asura Adya, atheist, the enemies of the devotees. Maya, energy. Vibhutaya, powerful representatives. Imha, all of them. Purushakti Bhajah, of the Supreme Powerful Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. At the beginning of creation, there are Penas, myself, Brahma, and the Prajapatis, the great sages, who generate. Then during the maintenance of creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with the controlling power, and the kings of different planets. But at the end, there is the irreligion, and then Lord Shiva, and the atheist full of anger, etc. All of them are different representative manifestation of the energy of the supreme power, the Lord. Purport. The material world is created by the energy of the Lord, which is manifested in the beginning of the creation by the penans of Brahmaji, the first living entity being in the creation, and then there are 9 Prajapatis known as the great sages. In the stage when the creation is maintained, there are devotional service to Lord Vishnu or factual religion, the different demigods and the kings of different planets who maintain the world. At last, when the creation is preparing to wind up, there is first the principle of irreligion, then Lord Shiva, along with the atheist, full of anger. But all of them are but different manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahadev, Shiva, are different incarnation of the different modes of material nature. Vishnu is the Lord of the mode of goodness. Brahma is the Lord of mode of passion. And Shiva is the Lord of mode of ignorance. Ultimately, the material creation is but a temporary manifestation meant to give the chance of liberation to the conditioned souls who are entrapped in the material world, and one who develops the mode of goodness under the protection of Lord Vishnu has the greatest chance of being liberated by the following Vaishnava principles and thus being promoted to the kingdom of God, no more to return to the miserable material world. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namam Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatishva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sakrachatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitham Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Taru Brasha Krupa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So the section which we are discussing is it talks about the different incarnations of the Lord. And yesterday we had the verse where the Kalki incarnation was been explained, the supreme chastiser in Kali Yuga. Today the verse talks about the Gunavataras, that is Brahma, Vishnu and Lord Shiva. So, there comes a reference in a Bhagavatam where Lord Vishnu is speaking to Daksha and he says, Atma mayam samavishya soham gunamayim dvija srujan rakshan haran vishvam drudre samyagam karyochitam. So he says, Lord is saying to Daksha, he is saying, I am the original personality of Godhead, but in order to create, maintain and inhalate this cosmic manifestation, I act through my energy and according to the different grades of activities. My representations are differently named. And there, Srila Prabhupada explained the purpose. For the purpose of creation, Brahma is manifested. For inhalation, there is Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are qualitative incarnation, that is Gunavatars, of Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu, along with them, accept the control of quality of goodness. And in the subsequent verses, 2-3 verses ahead, Lord Vishnu describes about his position and should not be compared with the Shiva or Lord Brahma. So we see, in Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna explains about in detail about the three modes and the Gunavataras. Not directly Gunavataras, but the three modes he explains and gives a lot of emphasis there. So yes, as the verse talks about, there is a creation, then there is a maintenance, and there is a destruction. So to create something is not that difficult than to maintain it. So some reflection from my life is when I was working with a software company, so that time to create a coding, that required some analysis, that required some expertise. But however to maintain the code, however to maintain that software system, that needs a whole understanding of the wholesome system and fixing the old bugs, fixing the old errors and upgrading the code. So for even if you have to add upgrade to some small feature to be added to the system, sometimes the implications are so huge in the code that it affects so many other different modules in the systems and it becomes very cumbersome actually to just add a very small simple feature. So software systems, it may have started for just keeping something simple thing as good as maintaining the database. But as it grows, it becomes so complex. Over a period, it becomes so complex to deal with. So, and if that time, if you have to induct any new person to face this system or to maintain that system, it becomes very challenging to understand the wholesome system and the code. So there is a, so for that reason, they generally do a lot of documentation of any systems, not just software system, but for any software systems, they do a lot of documentation. So much that, if you have to update or add some simple code, some simple module, you have to do a documentation 5 times bigger than the actual code. So that's how much documentation we need to do. I remember when I was working and I just shifted a company, so I was getting a call from my previous company. That is generally not done, but I was getting the call from the previous company. So they're calling me because they were going for upgrading the system, for upgrading certain platform, and they're shifting the whole code into the new system, new platform. So though at that time, before leaving, I had handed over, I had done a proper documentations, but still, they have to call me and ask me how to do this, how was that being done. So sometimes it's really very difficult to get a grasp of the systems. To maintain the system is very difficult. So, yeah. So many times it's better to scrap the existing system and build a new system. That is more cost effective. So maintenance is very much difficult. That's what I mean to say. Sometimes we see in our temple, there is a cleanliness drive, this cleanliness department. So it's named as Gopinath Shrining. So sometimes we had, because to maintain the proper cleanliness, we had created some system that we'll put a checklist of cleanliness of certain areas, and we posted all that checklist, and we thought, okay, this system will work very good, very wonderfully. But we thought it will run in auto mode because you place the checklist everywhere and it will run in auto mode. But over a period, things get relaxed, and sometimes the checklist not ticked. Sometimes the checklist is not supervised, not signed by the supervisor, and it is unmonitored. So as the time passes, sometimes the checklist itself is missing. So we need to do a lot of monitoring to maintain that systems. So maintenance is always, creation is easier than to maintain. So in our temple, we have one of the biggest departments in terms of the time and attention and energy it requires. That's maintenance and repairs. And in temple meetings, many times, most of the meetings are occupied with these areas, maintenance and repairs. So it's not a very easy service. Maintenance is difficult, isn't it? So therefore, Lord Vishnu takes this to himself. It requires a lot of mode of goodness to maintain. So it is not just at the institutional or organization level. Even at the personal level, we see that to start any relationship is very easy. To start any preaching program is very also easy. To make a powerful PowerPoint or socialize, make a relationships, impress people with a few things. It's very easy to start a relationship. To end is also very easy. Sometimes we see the youngsters, when they are not gelling with each other, they are ready to break up immediately. But to maintain the relationship is very difficult. We may grow in a preaching, but to maintain the devotees requires a courses like a DCC, devotee care systems, right, to place. Right? So to maintenance is very difficult. And not just for the relationship, for the personal, if you see the exercises, for the studies, right? All of these things, creating a schedule is very easy. To scrap that schedule is also very easy, but to maintain is very difficult. So that requires this mode of goodness. So if you see the mode of ignorance, it is like Bhagavad Gita mentions, aprakasho apravruttischa. There is no illumination and there is no action. And there is pramad, there is intoxication, moha, illusion. And over a period, things get paralyzed. It doesn't move ahead. A very wonderful example is if somebody is watching a movies, so he is identifying with the hero, with the character. It's like living a second life, second-hand life. It's not your life, but what is happening on the screen, you start thinking, that's my life. So hero is enjoying, and one start thinking, okay, I am also enjoying. Right? So this is a total illusion. And therefore, probably in the movie theaters, they have popcorn. So all around you is a darkness and the illusion. At least something should go on real. So these popcorns, you start eating. At least that is real. So entertainment is a part of a life. It is okay to be part of life, but it should not become a substitute for our life. That is a problem. You see, the world is an illusion compared to the happiness it gives. It's very temporary. On top of it, you see the movie theaters, there's another illusion going on. And people get trapped into it. That's like a illusion square. That's a mode of ignorance. In a mode of passion, Bhagavad Gita mentions, it says, Lobha Pravritti Arambha Karmanam Ashamas Praha. So he says, Lobha, there's a strong desire. There's a strong pravritti and there's a passionate action. Like running around, doing for some small thing, you're running around. So what happens in a mode of passion is, the first action is there and then contemplation. And then think over. And then the lament. Oh, why did I do that? Why did I speak that? There's a mode of passion. And a mode of goodness, Bhagavad Gita mentions, Sarva dareshu dehesmin prakasha upajayate. So, it talks about the doors I illuminated. What are the doors? The doors of the body is the senses. So, the senses are illuminated with knowledge. Knowledge, like what should come in and what should go out. It's like, you know, if the entrance is not lighted, then you will not be able to understand who has come in or who is going out. So, that means to say, when the senses are not having a proper knowledge or not illuminated, then we don't understand what to see, for what to close our eyes. Right? So, senses has to be illuminated. What to eat and what not to eat. Sometimes back, there was some photograph was shared to me on WhatsApp. The Statue of Liberty. So the Statue of Liberty, you know, that is, she is standing, like holding a torch. But this photograph was, the Statue of Liberty has grown so fat that she could not stand, not even sit. She's reclining, Statue of Liberty. And in one hand there was a pizza and other hand is a Coke. And the title was Statue of Too Much Liberty. Too much liberty in eating. We don't understand what to eat and what not to eat. Just going on. Anido. You go on eating. So, we don't understand when our senses are not illuminated, what to hear, what not to hear, what to associate with, whom to not associate with. So when the doors of senses are illuminated, we understand these things. We understand which input to be processed, which is coming in, how to process it. That is a mode of goodness. So there is a first contemplation and then there is a action. So while tailoring, which is better? Is it to cut twice or measure twice and cut once? It's always measure twice and cut once. Contemplate first and then carry out the action. So that is a mode of goodness. So for understanding our inner world, at least we should come to the mode of goodness. The proper contemplation, and then the action follows. So how we perceive the things around us is, let's say if there is some situation in front of us, through our senses we give input, and that input goes to our subtle body, that's a mind. But because we have, each of us have a different mind, that's why we interpret that situation, that event, differently. We perceive those situations differently. Because our mind is influenced by three modes, the different shades of modes. Ignorance is about the passive, is very passive and destructive. Mode of passion is very impulsive. And mode of goodness is we think and then we act. For example, if there is, let's say, there is a sadhana crisis into a neophyte's life. So, the person in a mode of ignorance, what will do? He may just ignore that feedback and dismiss it as unimportant. Probably, he will indulge into some destructive ways of getting into the escaping out of it or getting more into the materialism. Or otherwise, we'll blame others for the situation. That is a mode of ignorance person. A mode of passion, how he'll do is, he'll aggressively start showing off at how I am now better. But actually, he lacks the depth within himself. Then, he will justify all his acts at how I am correct. That's a mode of passion person. Or otherwise, he will shift from one authority to the other, from one counselor to the others. And he's just shifting. Right? He will not, in one sense, he will not ready to accept. That's a mode of passion. But the mode of the person who is in a mode of goodness, he will take that advice, he'll take the advice, he'll discuss with the trusted sources, and will introspect with himself with the humility, not to rebel back, not to just argue, but he will practice with the patience and resilience and come out properly. So that's a person, how we can see, understand in three modes. So most of the people around us in the world are in the mode of passion and ignorance, the different shades. So like, you know, if you consider passion, ignorance and goodness is like a RGB, red, green and blue, RGB color. So in our real world, we don't see prominently only red or only blue or only green, RGB, yeah, blue and green, yeah. We don't see it prominently like that, but we see it more of a mixture of it, more of the different shades of this, right? So same way we have the different shades, most of the people are in different shades of passion and ignorance. Sometimes in the mode of passion, they are so crazy about certain things, and they're so fanatic about certain things, and for achieving that, they themselves work so hard and get busy into it. Sometimes they work so hard to achieve certain things which they have a craze for, and they become so exhausted working hard that they need a break. So living in a passion is many times very exhausting, and then they want to get away with it, and that's why they turn on to the movies. They want to forget that reality. They take upon drinking. They take upon certain intoxications. So after such a passionate work, the results doesn't come. And even if it comes, it doesn't satisfy to that level to us. And hence, people plunge into the mode of ignorance. And then they take upon the escapism to the entertainment and intoxication. So passion, people do have a passion, mode of passion, because they want to grow. Yes, there is a proper human need to grow. Growth is very natural for a human being. But even the cancer is also a growth. And that is very unnatural and very destructive. Why? Because it is a very disproportionate growth. It's like example, a man is growing so much into business, putting a lot of hours, putting a lot of attention into his business, and is growing his business very well, but is lacking upon his relationship, his social life, his family members, giving time to his family members. So much so that he is suspicious about everyone around him. And then, even by earning a good, growing his business good, he may have a big house, but he starts feeling very lonely in that. So that's a disproportionate growth. So passion is like that disproportionate growth. But goodness means it's a balance. Where you contemplate what is important for me. What is something that matters for me. That's a mode of goodness. And we pursue that, what is important for me. And then move in a more balanced way. Unlike the disproportionate growth or a cancerous growth. So passion, it actually, in a mode of passion, people actually chase something what the world dictates to them. They see something in the outside world and then they want it. They desire for it and they start chasing for it and they work hard for it. Right? So it is from the outside somebody is dictating you in. But where is the mode of goodness? You contemplate what is important for me, what does matter for me. And then you pursue it in a more balanced way. Right? So, inside, you go out.
That is a mode of goodness.
So in a sadhaka's journey, in a spiritual journey, we have to, as like we are sadhaka, we have to cross over this ocean of material existence. And this ocean of material existence is full with the obstacles. The obstacles which are in a shade of all these three modes. Isn't it? So we'll discuss something. Yesterday was a Hanuman Jayanti. And Hanumanji was also on a journey crossing over the ocean. And he also faced the obstacles. We'll discuss these obstacles in context to the different shades of three modes. So, Hanumanji is in a mission to search for Mother Sita. That's how a sadhaka's journey is, to find the bhakti in the heart. We have lost the bhakti, we are trying to revive that bhakti in the heart. So the process is the process of devotion service to cross over. It's a long journey. The journey is to cross over the 100 yojanas. It's not so easy journey. So there are many obstacles. Obstacles in the path of a devotion service are like obstacles in sadhana, services, relationship with the devotees, preaching. It is not a cakewalk. Even Hanumanji, a pure devotee like Hanumanji, has to face the obstacles. So what are these three major obstacles what he faces, Hanumanji faces? We'll see through the angle of three modes. So I'm putting it not in the order of what Hanumanji faced, but the order we want to discuss: mode of ignorance, then passion, and then goodness. So the obstacle, one of the obstacles what he faces is Simhika. Simhika is also known as Chayagrahi. She catches the shadow. As Hanumanji was flying very high, but shadow was on the sea water. Flying high in the sky is compared to the success in a life. However, one may be very successful in the life, but we have some faults. And the envious people who always try to watch with their magnifying glass where is a fault in that person. And they catch that fault and pulls them down. That is actually Simhika. That is the nature of envy, to catch the fault and pull them down. So Simhika caught the shadow of Hanumanji. She had that potency. She had that siddhi. She caught the shadow of Hanumanji. So Hanumanji was stuck. He could not move forward or backward. He was stuck. So, this is the envy. So, envy, most of the times, is classified as the mode of passion. But I say it is a mode of passion and ignorance. Because envy in a passion, it actually creates a competition. It leads to a competition that I will perform better than you. But envy in ignorance is like that leads to pulling somebody down. It pulls somebody down that will not let others to go ahead in a more destructive way. And that's where I'm classifying this envy of Simhika in the mode of, more in a shade of mode of ignorance. So this obstacle can be interpreted in a mode of ignorance. So Simhika was catching a shadow and pulling it down. Nature of envy, seeing something dark and pulls it down. So one may have millions of good things, but Simhika, as if Simhika was just catching upon that dark shadow, envious people just catch upon that one fault and they don't see the millions of good, but that one fault and try to pull that. So somebody told Srila Prabhupada, your disciples are like coal. He was having that critical mentality. So Prabhupada said, yes, by the pressure of Krishna consciousness, they will turn into diamonds. Prabhupada said that. So, original envy is why Krishna is God. And that's actually the Mayavad philosophy. So, Srila Prabhupada, once he was in Jagannath Puri, there was a Mayavadi who had written a book. And he wanted Srila Prabhupada to inaugurate that book. So, Srila Prabhupada thought, okay, so I got a good stage. Let me explain about the Krishna consciousness. Let me explain about what our movement is doing. And Srila Prabhupada took that opportunity and he spoke about Krishna consciousness. So author was getting restless and he started pointing that please speak about my book, speak about my book. And Prabhupada totally ignored, once, twice he ignored. So at last he got up, the author got up and he said, now Swamiji will speak about my book. And Prabhupada, he turned to the audience and said, this book is bogus because it is blaspheming God, is envious of Lord Shri Krishna, and that's why this book is bogus. So Simika was putting a Hanumanji in her mouth, she's gulping down to the throat and through passing through a food pipe. So Hanumanji expanded himself and tore open the food pipe and came out of the belly. So that's how the ignorance, such obstacles need to be dealt like that. Such an atheistic philosophy need to be dealt with that. So yes, Simika was dead. That's how the mode of ignorance is a self-destructive. So, another obstacle just before this Simika was a Surasa. Surasa had a boon from Brahmaji that anyone flies across, it has to enter into her mouth. So she opened her mouth wide. Hanumanji could not escape. So Hanumanji became bigger. So Simika also made her mouth bigger. Then Hanumanji became bigger. She also made her mouth bigger. And this was a competition going on. Who is bigger? So Surasa represents this competitive mentality. And that represents the obstacle in a mode of passion, competitive mentality. In our spiritual journey, we may sometimes acquire this obstacle, competitive mindset with other devotees that I am better than you. So, in a process of proving that I am better than you, we may neglect the goal and that we are trying to achieve that goal. So, goal is not to prove I am better than you, but the goal is to reach to the Bhakti Devi, the ultimate, the perfection of human form of life. So there is no need of competition because Vaikuntha doesn't have a limited seats. In this world we have limited seats and that's why there are so many applicants and there is a competition. But in Vaikuntha, for every one of us there is a seat reserved. So we don't have to compete with any other devotees. So the competition is not really need to be there in the spiritual journey. So Hanumanji, he reduced the size to so small, he became very insignificant. That's the word used in Valmiki Ramayana. He became really an insignificant. And that's the proper use of intelligence. He went inside Surasa's mouth and came out. And he said, I kept your words. Nobody can pass through. I went inside and came out. So Surasa was very happy seeing the intelligence of Hanumanji and seeing his humility. So the point is, we should learn to focus upon our goal. So Srila Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, which service do you like? Now, any answer Srila Prabhupada may have given, that could have got a lot of competition. And somebody who is doing it, he could have got a lot of pride. So Srila Prabhupada said, service which I like is the best is to serve, to love Krishna. To love Krishna, one may have different ways and approaches. And Srila Prabhupada actually diffused that whole thing. That could have actually went into a very competitive mood, but Srila Prabhupada diffused that. So competition, in a mode of passion, whatever everyone achieves it, I will achieve it better than them. That's a person in the mode of passion, he thinks. It's like a rat race. So in a rat race, they want to win over. But even if they win the rat race, they still remain the rat. And that's the point. In the material world, in the mode of this mode of passion, we may compete for certain things, But there is hardly any transformation. He still remains a rat in the rat race. So the point, the mode of passion is that they want to go ahead of others, right? If we define ourselves just based upon the world worldview in terms of others, then we will be miserable forever. Passion will not get us happier than others. In the mode of passion, people want happier than others. But that is very impossible to achieve. Why? Why it is impossible to achieve that I should be more happier than others? Because often we overestimate how happy others are. We always overestimate. He is maybe more happy than me, maybe more happy than me. But if we just scratch a little bit, we understand how miserable that person is. Another point is, even if we move higher in that competition to achieve something, but the world is like that, there is always somebody above us. So, in the mode of passion, in the mode of this competition, we will never be happy. We will always be miserable. So instead of getting into this endless confrontation or endless arguments, we should take the humble position as pointed by Hanumanji and move on with the mission. There is no point in proving our own greatness, as what is important is a purpose and the mission in hand. And Hanumanji showed it by the humility. Humility actually doesn't mean that we let others trample upon us. No. Humility actually means that let our ego doesn't come on our way of our goal, our purpose and our mission. That is a humility. So that's how Hanumanji, he came across this obstacle, mode of passion, which is a Sursa. Another obstacle before this is a Mainaka Parvat. And this Mainaka Parvat is a golden mountain. This Mainaka had a good relationship with the father of Hanumanji, that's a Vayudev. And so he had offered a place. He knew that Hanumanji is going across the ocean. So he offered a place to rest for Hanumanji. Now rest and comfort is nothing wrong. It's okay. But Hanumanji had an urgent mission to fulfill. And that's why he didn't want to take that facility. So Hanumanji, he just honored Mainaka's offer and he touched the mountain and continued on the mission. So Mainaka Parvat can be considered as an obstacle in a mode of goodness. So in a mode of goodness, as like when we progress in a path of Krishna consciousness, we may get a lot of opportunity, we may get a lot of comforts, we may get a lot of rest, we may get a lot of praise, but we should not be so much entangling. That rest and comfort should not be so entangling that we become complacent with that. So complacency in a sadhana is like, you know, in the starting of our sadhana, your spiritual life, we are very enthusiastic. It's like when there is a, when you put a chalk, the oil is hot enough. And you put a jeera and rye into it. So as soon as you put, it starts cracking up immediately. So initially there is a lot of enthusiasm, but after a while, it stops. All that cracking stops. So sometimes we may take upon our Krishna consciousness very enthusiastically, but we don't maintain it. Remember I said, maintenance requires mode of goodness. So, our goal is very far, getting a taste into bhakti, real taste into bhakti, it's really far. And like for Hanumanji, he has to cross the 100 yojanas. So, there could be chances when there's a journey so long, we may become comfortable, we may become relaxed, as there could be many other offers which may come across. And we may take the things very easily, casually. And that's where we may become complacent. So Srila Prabhupada was once asked, Srila Prabhupada, what is the meaning of chanting 16 rounds? And Srila Prabhupada said, chanting 60 rounds means, you should ask a question, why only 16? We should not become complacent in the sadhana. So life is a mission
and not an intermission. We should go on. For a devotee, the spiritual life is an emergency. So like Hanumanji is reminding us how one should be focused and alert into our spiritual life, alert into our goal of a human form of life. So the good sometimes become the greatest enemy of the best. So goodness is good, but is not good enough always. So because let's say when we are, when we may not perceive the spirituality in a mode of goodness, we may develop a good connection with the friends, we may apply a good moral values into our life, that's like in a mode of goodness. But ultimately we may not come to the understanding of a soul, and there may not be any spiritual dimensions to it. And there is a possibility that we may just become stagnant at a goodness, at a, something which is good. We may just settle onto the good rather than progressing ahead for the best. And that's why I said, good is the greatest enemy of the best. And therefore, a goodness can also become the obstacle on the path of spiritual journey. And that's why I see Hanumanji, he could tackle the obstacles in the obstacle into fulfilling the mission of Lord Ramachandra. The first obstacle he comes across is the Mainaka Parvat, that's a mode of goodness. Then he comes across the second obstacle, that's a Surasa, who represents a mode of passion, that is a competition. And then he comes across the Simhika, who represents the obstacle in the mode of ignorance, envy, which is pulling us down. So to conclude our this discussion, so we discussed about the guna avataras, how the creation, maintenance and destruction happen in this world, and we gave the example of how to maintain a system is very difficult than the creation and destruction. And then we discussed about the three modes, how the mode of goodness we should come to have the maintenance. And we discussed about the pravrittis and the shades. Goodness, we should be going in a mode of goodness, more balanced way than the growth, which is cancerous in the mode of passion, which is very disproportionate. And then we discuss about Hanumanji, how we tackle the three obstacles. These three obstacles can be interpreted as the obstacles in the three modes. And how Hanumanji was always chanting the holy names of the Lord, Jai Shri Ram. And he could cross over this ocean by chanting the Jai Shri Ram. Same way, we may, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, overcome this ocean which is full of obstacles in the different shades of these three modes, and fulfill the mission of human form of life. So I beg your blessings and association and empowerment so that I can sail through this spiritual journey. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.